that's you're getting at kind of the challenge here to consider is, okay, if you raise this, what are you gaining? You know, you're not gaining a lot. You're really, this red area is really all you're gaining is creating some potential space that could be used in the future. You know, if you were to fill this in, you know, maybe it's some sort of a waterfront market type scenario. You know, maybe even you know, your farmer's market could live there. You know, something you know, where you have more seasonal types of shops. You know, that could be something that that could be done there. But you know, again, you're fairly fortunate where you don't have a ton of infrastructure down here. You know, you're quite lucky, and I think, you know, obviously it's probably not all luck. I suspect there's been some influence over the years to try to limit what you do down there, knowing that this is going to be a problem. So that's what we've been calling concept three, and I think you know, the last thing that we looked at is, okay, well, what if you did nothing? Or what if you planned to retreat? So say you just left this all as it was and allow it to eventually transition into, you know, more open space, park, waterfront type scenario. You could still do, you know, farmers markets and, you know, seasonal stuff down here. But, you know, invest your money in relocating the businesses and maybe looking at other areas of concern with that money, as opposed to investing, you know, $2 million in upgrading this road. You know, it'd be great, I think, you know, to restore this to a two-way road and create this as the main water street. I think there's a lot of advantages to that. You could still even do that, but you wouldn't even necessarily have to raise the road if you were to relocate a couple of these buildings. Or, like, you know, we show this building as being one of the issues, but it's probably only back to about here, so it could be a partial removal. I suspect there's a change in grade in the foundation somewhere in here that we didn't confirm, but yeah. So the do nothing approach or the retreat approach is essentially, you know, planning to relocate these businesses and then you know, rely on the natural terrain to be your solution. And I, you know, I think when you look at how close it is and how little you gain from that, you know, very well could be the best long-term solution for this particular area.
And that also provides opportunity for land uses that might be in line with what the public appreciates and value. During the different studies that we have conducted throughout Nova Scotia, the public really favors solutions that provide access to the water, access to recreational areas. The waterfront is a valuable area, and that kind of also ties in with the picture that showed the waterfront in Halifax, how these areas can be multipurpose and can be really, you can maximize their use for tourism and recreation during the summer if they are designed and if they are planned to be used like that. They can actually generate revenue and can be valued by the public, and at the same time it's a way of finding a solution that is generally cost effective and sustainable. What to do with the parking lot? For a while, the parking lot will be flooded. Eventually, as a long-term strategy, the relocation of the parking lot might be necessary. And what is really important is to couple these decisions with the planning strategies and planning policies that look at the town in entire picture. What the future is, what the land uses are, what the plan is for economical development and for population growth.
Just a comment about this and concept one. You know, if you didn't make this into a road and you made that more as a wall, that you could, you know, still use your parking lot. It floods, it drains, but then you're protecting the businesses on this side of it. Could you not? Isn't there a way to build that up?
You will still be limited by the stormwater. What makes this the seawall in a wall? It's the fact that you have land. You have a drop. So what to do with the water? Handling the water that it's going to accumulate behind that wall. Either if you put it here or if you put it there, right? Because the road basically cuts the path of the water, all of it. So,
but how, what's the difference between building a road and building a wall in that particular spot, as you call it, water street?
The advantage by building a wall further out is you create more storage space, so you can deal with stormwater that does come. If you were to push it back here, you only have this red space as your buffer. So,
but you're protecting your businesses, which is the
from
goal.
From the ocean.
Everything else, other than the VIC, and maybe those two other buildings, for the next 50 years would flood and then drain, flood and drain.
Mm-hmm.
And you protected the buildings on this side. So.
But the stormwater part, it's when the stormwater part, it's going to lead you either to install massive pumps,
right,
or try to do some raising of the ground behind that, and that.
And that's
and
what
that
I mean.
Might
I mean, if you're building that all out, it's in the red. As you're
basically
adjusting.
Raise from there back.
But you brought it up 2.5 meters in some sort of road or road's
yeah.
not the right word for me.
And
the a barrier of some sort.
A barrier.
Yeah.
That could be used like as a boardwalk or as whatever
yeah.
to really take advantage of that tourism
yeah.
aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And then your parking lot, again, you know, when it's there, it's there. When it
yeah.
floods, it's
yeah.
a temporary
issue. And you know, there's likely opportunities up here to divert, you know, some of the storm water away. You know, the further back you get, you know, the more opportunity you'll have because there'll be, you know, less. There's less, you know, for this big chunk here, for example, you know, where could you find ways to
right.
divert some of this off this way or off this way?
Then
but then you're going to create problems out in other places too.
But it seems like your whole problem is the water coming out through the parking lot. There's no easy solution for that. So, if you're looking at this side of it, you just kind of ignore that. We can maybe come up with solutions that makes it better. But, just my thoughts.
Yeah, no, for sure. Again, the main issue there is that there will be a low area along this side of the wall that water will collect under a rain event.
And something
yes,
that's too.
But you've shown that as an opportunity in other slides that could be filled in and graded.
Yes,
so if
absolutely
the whole thing
good.
Is graded and part of that.
Yeah, you still have to move these few businesses
right.
Or raise them or, you know,
well,
deal with them more.
Those are a challenge.
And in that
yeah.
case, if you are going to, then in that case the decision comes. Either if you don't do anything or you build the road, you still have to deal with the businesses.
Oh, absolutely.
And potentially the solution for both is going to be the same. You will have to relocate either temporarily or permanently, depending which way you go, those businesses. So you can deal with the entrance, you can deal with the drainage, you can do whatever you want going to do in this area. So the question is, that's when the solution is not only tied to the engineering part of it, but also what's the future plan? It's a plan to maintain those buildings there and develop that area no matter what. It's a plan to adapt. It's a plan to change the land uses. What are the business, what's the opinion and the, yeah, what's the take that each business owner is going to have on that?
But I see where you're going. Like, I do think that this particular option does create a significant opportunity. It's just
mm-hmm.
a matter of evaluating how much space you could gain and what the potential economic growth
yeah.
that could create. Obviously, you know, tourism in the summer is huge in Liverpool, and you know that's when this is going to be at its, you know, most usable state. You know, in the winter, probably not as important. So you know, having some sort of a seasonal marketplace for the local businesses and community members to take advantage of.
But when they're looking at towns now, they're not looking at putting in roads. They're looking at
yeah.
putting boardwalks. They're looking at putting in things that
yeah.
are more user tourist friendly.
Yeah.
So if you're, you know, that reminds me of going back in 1960 where, you know, you just put in a road because you needed a road.
Sure.
So
but
if you
could
look at
it,
and that's the challenge here, is that you have to look at it through so many lenses. because, you know, we're looking at different options for the park, we're looking at downtowns, so I just don't think building a road is a alternative.
No, it definitely doesn't need to be a road.
Yeah.
Just some sort of a hard feature that could help you reclaim some usable space here.
And when you say berm, what exactly is a berm?
A berm is just a trapezoidal embankment.
Okay.
Is what we refer to as a berm.
Basically, more like this is a, this would be a berm.
Which one?
Something like this. That's a berm.
Okay.
You know, it's like, or a dike. A dike
is
a berm.
A berm.
Oh,
yeah.
A road embankment could be considered a berm as well, just by the nature that it's a mound of material that's intended to hold something back or raise something.
So to make sure I understood your point was that instead of a road, something that allows to reclaim that, but not exactly a road, something that
exactly.
provides some touristic.
Because you still have the road. I mean, you're going to the parking lot, the current road.
Got it.
And you're going to be able to use that 360 days a year. Unless, you know, then we're facing different challenges, of course, when the water rises. But to get rid of that road and to get rid of that whole kind of pattern that we have there, when maybe we need to be looking at it as far as what can we do to shore it up closer to where the elevation starts up.
And then couple that with the access towards the bridge, because that was also an idea behind the road, being able to maintain that access.
Right.
Maintain that connection.
Yeah.
So basically the road has that double purpose, but those things need to be.
You know, and that could even, you know, it may be short term it's a road, but over time as, you know, flooding frequency increases, you know, it could be transitioned into a boardwalk as you know, things change and
we never do short term.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the last forever. So.
Yeah, yeah. So,
did you have a question? No? Okay, sorry.
So, order of magnitude costs, you know, these are conceptual cost estimates that have taken what we looked at here. You can see seawall, you know, basically $9 to $10 million. Raise the parking lot, you know, 4.5. Now, I think this one is important. So the first one, I think, you know, that's sensitive to how much pumping capacity you create. A large part of that is stormwater storage and pumping. I think about 2 to 3 million of it was the actual seawall itself, and the remainder is the stormwater component. The parking lot being at 4.5, that doesn't reflect the potential risk associated with infill of that area, which I think could easily double that number over time. Raising Water Street at 3.5. You'll see here 2.5 million of those numbers, of those last three numbers, is what we estimate the cost to relocate those businesses. Right? And that's purely based on building new structures of similar size to today's standards. You know, there may be one or two businesses there that would benefit from a slightly different type of space, but there's also maybe a business in a particular Hall Bay who has maybe put quite a bit of equipment in there, and that number may be a little bit different. So you know, that would require some more detailed work to refine those numbers, but I would say it's the right order of magnitude. And raising Lower Street, obviously the actual construction cost is the lowest of all of them, and probably the least risky, I would say, of the three. You know, we would expect the ground conditions underneath that road, where it is now, I suspect is pretty close to the existing or the original riverbank. If anything, you know, there might be a few pockets of poor material there that would have to be dealt with, but I would suspect that you'd be the least risky opportunity. Would you guys agree with that?
Water Street, if you look at some 1885 mapping, that was part of the river bottom. So the actual river bottom was actually north of street itself, the footprint of that would have been within Horseshoe River.
Right, but it wouldn't be as deep there.
Correct.
And it's probably been infilled with better material as well, I would suspect, back when they were building the works. And then obviously the retreat option, which we didn't have a figure for, but it's essentially the demolition cost of the existing buildings as we show it, plus the relocation cost. And you know, when you think about long-term costs, I think, you know, they're in the long-term costs for the various options, they're in the same order as these. So I think the seawall would have the same would be the highest long-term cost, because you're dealing with pumps, you're dealing with storage, you're dealing with a lot of maintenance, operating costs. Raising the parking lot, I guess, does have the potential maybe to be the biggest one if you run into a lot of issues, depending on how you tackle it at the beginning, and then obviously the long-term cost of retreating is the least, because you're just getting out of there. But you could argue that, you know, if you were going to use that same philosophy in other areas, probably the most scalable. So, as far as our recommendations go, you know, we've talked about what we expect the long-term sea level to be. So, you know, short-term, you know, where we are today, you know, we can expect water to be, you know, lapping at 2.4 meters, which I think you've probably already seen, you know, around the intersection there, Water Street, and I can't remember the name of the street that the bridge is on.
Market
Street. So, and then long-term, you know, 3.4 meters is, you know, for, you know, 80 to 100 years out is what we think we should be planning for. So, for future development, you know, we suggest that we should be limiting future development, you know, likely to that 3.4 meter elevation. You know, but obviously that's a business decision, you know, how you want to tackle that. And then anything below that, you know, should have flood resiliency. You know, be a little bit more robust, and you know, the ability to be adaptable or easily cleaned up. You know, various considerations there. You know, and
in the times of resilience, basically there is a global trend towards that. Canada, actually, the federal government, Infrastructure Canada, has habilitated a funding stream for flood resilience and disaster mitigation, which can be considered for projects that that aim to address that vulnerability.
The 3.4, just as a point of reference, that's about a foot higher than Home Hardware, just so you know what 3.4 is. Basement level of Home Hardware is about 3.1.
Right.
So 3.4, when you talk about the future planning tool, 3.4, that's about a foot higher than Home Hardware.
Or in other words, 3.4 can also, everything that it's basically under dark blue, so everything that it's covered, yellow, light blue and dark blue, is under 3.4.
Yeah, it's just a little bit higher than, it's put halfway into the pink.
Yeah, sorry, that's over there. Yeah, that's right. I messed up the numbers. It's over there. Sorry, the pink. I said dark blue, but it's pink.
Brad, what is the height of the VIC?
3.0.
3.0. So that would be a relocation as well?
No.
Well, I know, I think you could argue that that it's at least for
the tea leaves on that one.
We'll
so
do boat rides back and forth.
Paddle boots.
From lanes.
But the point here is, you know, within 70 years, 3.4 is going to be a problem. Right? I guess that's what Colin was illustrating earlier when he had one of those tables have a sliding scale. You know, what is 1% chance now?
Yeah.
It's going to be 10% or 20% in the future. So actually, I got that wrong.
This one.
Yeah.
So you can see as time goes on, that 2.4 becomes a lot more frequent. You know, to the point where, you know, in 2000 or 2100, 2.4 is the high tide. there's a high, high cottage.
So in 50 years, we're talking 2.5 right now, which is a 1 in 100 year storm, which is a 1% chance in any 1 year occurring. In 50 years, in 2070, you've got 20% chance in any 1 year of that occurring. So that just goes to show you your adaptability, that over time, what you design and put into place now, at best, is going to last you maybe 50 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you got to look at it again, which makes sense, because
yeah.
you're not going to construct something right now that's 100 years out, because we already looked at the difference in the projected sea level rise and all those curves. It's whichever model you want to design to, and they're vastly different between the high and the low values. It's risk enough, as Colin said earlier.
So, trying to get back to my last slide here. I can't remember what the last couple bullets were. Because I do want to come back to that bigger picture slide. You know, I think, you know, as far as the parking lot goes, it's hard to recommend building a wall. I think the most responsible thing to do is likely to plan to retreat and adapt. You know, like I said, I think you guys are actually one of the more fortunate communities to have high ground quite close, and most of your town is built on higher ground. You know, that the money that you wouldn't spend on that, you know, should probably go to looking at you know, higher risk infrastructure to invest that money into to make them more flood resilient. You know, as businesses do relocate, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily happen right now.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen over time. You know, deal with the worst first and work your way back. You know, you have an opportunity there to really shift that space into an open public space that can be used at, you know, 99% of the time for you know, leisure activities and, you know, markets and, you know, things like that that you know, could really benefit the town.
I have a question, and I'm afraid to ask, but I'll ask it anyway. We're talking about land changes. What about changes within the waterway itself? I mean, like dredging. Would that cause more of a depth for the water to be held, or?
You know, the issue there is that ultimately you've got the sea as sort of your constant that controls everything.
Okay.
And you can't change the level, the top level of the sea. The bottom doesn't really matter, because
mm-hmm.
if it was only this deep,
mm-hmm.
it would find the deeper spot
mm-hmm.
to go to and flow through itself to get there. You know, there might be a little bit of a delay there, but you know, I don't think deepening the harbor, the waterfront, I don't think will really gain you much in that respect, because the sea level is sort of the part that's holding that back.
And on top of that, basically sediment, it's always flowing. So those are not, even in those cases in which it could make a difference, those are solutions that are only temporary, because the river always brings sediment back and it infills. As engineering progress, we got used to diverting and doing channels and changing the water path, but that also has also some other consequences that are sometimes detrimental to the ecosystem, to the recreational purposes, to the access to water. So there is a recognition that basically the forces of nature are huge, and you can tame them sometimes for a bit, but there is always something that is going to be bigger, or the water is going to bring the sediment that is going to keep you all the time chasing, basically a solution.
Now another question, it's about, I know a lot of that the land waterfront there has been infilled over the years. Now is that a reason why we seem to be having more of an issue with the water accumulation?
I think possibly because it's very flat. And the water, because it's so flat and the high tide is near the surface, once the water gets there, it doesn't really have anywhere to go.
No, right.
Until tide comes down, and then the existing storm system can take it away, and then there's a bit of a delay there, because it only has so much capacity.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a little better sloped, if this was a little bit higher than this, at least it would have a chance to flow away. But right now, actually, there's a few spots in here that are lower than it is here.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see, actually right there, you can see there is actually a low spot right in front of the waterfront plaza. You can see this is where that cross section is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's looking, it's right here looking that way. And then you can see also sort of in through here, there's a bit of a low spot as well, which is normal. I mean, you need to be able to drain the smaller events from a parking lot into your catch basins. But that would be by design, at least from here on. It's just unfortunate that these buildings are so low.
Mm-hmm. And you can't slope it because then you'd be creating a gully between the slope and the building.
Yeah, I mean, you could slope it more that way, I suppose, but then you're just creating an opportunity for this seawater to come back in further at high tide. Because again, like right now at high tide, at high tide, there's a
there.
Puddle there over that catch basin.
Mm-hmm.
So really what we're saying is that if you're looking at it, it's 2100 you're going to have, where our 2.4 becomes the 1 in 100 is today, it will be the norm at that time. So then the 1 in 100 will be the 3.4, which then the home harbor base is about 3.1, so you have to have a barrier between that if you want to keep the home hardware and that up above. To have a barrier of some sort.
Right, and really
back.
Now is probably the time to be thinking about that,
right.
As opposed to trying to protect this.
Yes.
Either a barrier or some other type of management, because then it's not only that area, the one that it's exposed, it's basically the entire downtown area. But yes, you can think about the barrier. If you want to protect everything that it's below 3.4, but it can be also an expensive solution. So that's when the trade-off between planning, potential managed relocation, and there is a balance there to be studied in the long run.
So, I think, really, the next big question, I think, is, not to fast forward past this problem, but where do you look at next? I think possibly one of the, instead of investing a lot of money here, I think it might make sense to do a bit of an assessment of all of the infrastructure in these areas that will eventually be flooded. Figure out, okay, what's our most critical piece of infrastructure that we need to protect and start chipping away? Any other questions?
Thank you.
No.
Discussion?
Brent,
go ahead, Brent.
What CBCL are looking for?
Pardon?
What consultant CBCL are looking for right now is a path forward. So they've gone as far as they can go until they receive some direction from RQM on which to flush out. Now, it could be one of the three options, one of the four options, or it could be further flood analysis. I mean, it could go in a completely different direction. But what they presented today is far as they can go with the
mm-hmm.
input from us.
Yeah.
So
that completes the remit of what they were what you were contracted to do.
Our budget actually did include design of something down here. So when we presented the proposal, we basically assumed that it'd be a seawall. We didn't expect to have to deal with all these pumps at the time, because we didn't realize how big the drainage area was that was feeding into that. But, you know, that's what we have available in our budget to continue with, something along those lines. You know, I think we've got in the order of $50,000 left over in our budget to do something.
Right.
And I'm not sure it's best spent on engineering a solution here.
Yeah.
I think potentially, just my honest opinion, I think the best way to spend that money is to look at doing that assessment of what I just talked about. You know, look at the flood risk areas and figure out where the biggest problems are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And
community, the community cities,
yeah, right.
Well, I think it's a lot to digest for everybody right now, and the discussion's not going to happen right now on direction for you, so I think that will come later on.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of discussion that we have to have with council and with our own engineering department and the mayor and staff to figure out what is our next step and how to advise you to go further. So appreciate your,
yeah,
if nobody else has any more questions.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Brad, down at the sewer treatment facility there, that was all infill, was it not? All of that green, blue area?
That was constructed in 1992.
Yeah, from when they were dredging the harbor, then they used that overflow of all that.
Mm-hmm. Dredged there in 94, 95, and then
Mm-hmm. So that was land actually basically infilled.
Okay, that's right. That was marsh land and already
so there's never been, I mean, that's quite high, the elevator, more certainly than our waterfront area.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just thinking, is there anything that could be considered to do an infill down in the parking area there, but for a benefit to us, not as a detriment? It would be possible as a thought, how crazy it might be, is create, do another infilling, but do it to our benefit down in the waterfront. Then it would be that might divert some of the water flow or provide more land for the flooding that really wouldn't interfere with any of the activity of the building from the waterfront. Fill it in.
So
you're talking about raising
it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Raising the
parking lot? No. Well, fill it in. Bring more land out into the harbor. Into the...
What effect?
Okay. Just let it flow.
Yeah,
it
won't.
If anything,
it would be on the land side that you have to protect, like building something. If you infill, because I think where you're imagining it's something that you infill and it's so high that prevents the water from coming in, that would be, it's exactly the same effect as the solution that it's already in land with something that is constructed already. And environmental permitting for something like that will take all the life of the project.
The issue with that, though, is, and one of the main issues there is, sorry, I want to go back to this other figure, there we go, is, you know, you can fill this, but eventually you're going to have to, you have to keep going, or it'll come around the back side and come in this way. You know, this over here is a good example of that. Is this, where's the shoreline? Is it right here? Is the shoreline out?
No, it goes all the way down.
It goes out that way?
Yes.
Okay. So this just happens to be a low area, but, you know, an example of sort of an area where, you know, water can get in the right situations.
Okay.
But anyway.
Where my house might be.
Well, but like I said, I do think that's something that...
That's the marsh.
No, that's the marsh.
Okay.
Got you.
That doesn't look
that the ball?
Yep.
Yes.
Let's see a little part.
Okay.
No right question. Sorry.
No other questions? Yeah, well, thank you very much
thank
for your time.
No,
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's incredible.
And you guys aren't alone. That's the thing. We're all in this together. Fortunately, or unfortunately, we like to live by water for various reasons. And we've created some difficulties for ourselves as a civilization.
So,
could I have a motion to adjourn? Councilor Earl, second to that?
Fancy.
Thank you. Councilor McLeod? All in favor?
Raymond?
Can you do that again? Yeah, all in favor, adjourn?
Sorry.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mark.
We have discretion.
We weren't done the meeting yet.
Thank you.